Hello, I'm James.
Hi, I'm Jimmy.
Welcome to A Job Done Well,
a podcast about the world of work and how to improve the daily grind.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm right. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Thank you very much. All the better because I'm sitting next to Amanda today.
Hi. Nice to be back, Amanda.
So today, Amanda's joined us. We are going to take a look at emotional intelligence. It's an increasingly recognised and desirable quality in great leaders and has a big impact on the workplace. So we are going to talk about what do we mean by EQ, how do you define it, share some of our experience and lack of capability of this style, some stories and practical examples, the pros and cons and maybe risks, and most importantly, Amanda's going to help us understand how you can develop it.
That could be a big job for some of us, Amanda.
She's got time on her hands.
Excellent.
So how have you been, Amanda? What have you been up to since you last joined us?
Thoroughly fed up with all this horrible weather. But what it's actually inspired me to do is start my gardening efforts.
All right.
Yep. So growth in people is part of my development, but I'm actually started to plant my own dahlias from scratch.
Planted some people, I
did. Honestly, it just gives me an overwhelming joy just to see those little green shoots come up for the first time through the soil. So,
James, what have you been up to?
Well, two things. Garden. So I've got a garden as well. Mine's it's like the stately home.
People at a certain age.
I knew we were going to get that. Yeah.
I was told the other day, actually, I went out for dinner with some friends, and I came in dressed as I am now.
Yeah.
And she said to me, "You're looking very chic, James." She says, "The Monty Don look is really taking off." So there you go. I've got my Monty Don jacket on.
Still don't recognise when people are taking the piss out of you, do you?
And then the other thing that I've been up to is my daughter, bless her, is doing her GCSEs.
So you are as well.
So I am as well. Yeah, I am now pretty much French fluent again. And my chemistry is coming on leaps and bounds. Thank you for asking. How about you?
Well, I am still reeling from some very disappointing news in the last week. This will show listeners when we were recording this. Rishi Sunak, our Prime Minister, and probably one of the least cool people in the world, was out
Has
sporting.
He got the same trainers as you?
He was out sporting a pair of these original Sambas. I mean, the man's not only wearing Adidas, he's wearing Sambas, my favourite trainers.
You don't
and
see
the exact him. Same ones that I am sporting today.
You don't see him wearing a Monty Don jacket, do you?
No.
Well, I rest my case. Thank you very much.
So I am very sad about that.
I'm more Jeremy Corbyn.
Anyhow.
You're going to have to edit that. Oh, I'm corpsed. Go on then, Amanda. What do we mean by emotional intelligence?
So emotional intelligence, it's the mind's ability to perceive, manage and express emotions effectively. Originated by Mayer and Salovey, they defined emotional intelligence as the ability to be able to regulate feelings and use them then to guide our actions. And then the work more popularised by Daniel Goleman, have you heard of him?
I think I've got his book, actually.
Yeah.
Well-known psychologist, I believe.
Yeah.
Who later divided the necessary skill sets for high emotional intelligence, often abbreviated to EQ, into these domains. Self-awareness, so your ability to recognise your own emotions. And then self-regulation being the ability to, when you recognise that, manage your emotional responses. So what you do as a consequence of those emotions coming forward. And then moving into social awareness, so recognising emotions in others, what's going on for other people and the people around you, and then turning that into the next phase, which would be relationship management, so how you then manage interactions with others. And then something that I hadn't come across before, actually, but in this field, an extra domain of motivation. So that's not explicitly part of the original four-branch model, but actually it's a crucial aspect of EQ.
So it's a bit like a two-by-two box with another bit tacked on. So on the one hand, you've got self and others.
Yes.
And then you've got your ability to be aware and then also your ability to regulate.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Perfect.
So shall we go through those in a little bit more detail?
Yeah, let's do that. So self-awareness, looking at that one, your ability to accurately perceive your emotions and then the tendencies and behaviours that that creates for you in any situation. So, for example, if you suddenly feel frustrated or anger peaks, are you aware of that? And are you aware of what the trigger is that's actually impacting that?
So I have got a good example of this.
Great.
Unfortunately, the awareness always comes a little bit late for me. But I was driving through Thetford Forest, believe it or not, and there was a contact flow system. And there was a sign. Oh, we'd been sitting in traffic for, 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It was hideous. And I've got two screaming kids in the back of the car, and it's too hot, you know, those type of days.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says, merge in turn. It says merge in turn. That's the instruction.
Yeah, yeah.
Merge in turn. It was my turn. I wasn't pushing in. It was my turn. And this pillock in the juggernaut, he thinks, well, I'm not letting him in. And then he goes straight through. At which point I thought it was my turn, right? I honk the horn. And the bloke winds down his window and he gives me the wanker sign, as you do, right? So then I responded in time with turn with a similar signal, and questioned my fatherhood, I think. And then I really flipped, and I stuck my fingers in my ears and stuck my tongue out and waved my fingers at him just like that, because that's what you do when you're...
How old were you?
I was about
7.
45. Anyway... And then, of course, what he did, this obviously, me doing that to him, he flipped. That was
really?
Enough, right? So then he slams on the brakes, this whole juggernaut screams to a halt, and he starts to climb out the truck. Fortunately, though, if you remember the beginning of the story, we were at a contraflow and you couldn't get through, so he stopped, so I just nipped in front of him, didn't I? So then, this was the best bit, then I'm driving along. Now I start to regulate my emotion, I understand what's going on. Now I'm driving through a contraflow with my wife and my two young daughters in the back of a small car, and I've got a juggernaut right up my arse with this bloke who I've just, yeah.
Whoa.
It was like a scene from Duel. Remember Duel movie?
Yeah.
So I then had to nip off down the side street and calm down. So there you go. A good case of a triggering.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And actually you lead very nicely into the next stage of the model, which is then the self-management.
Drive off down the side road.
Drive off down the side road. But first of all, recognising the emotion, it's in place. Something's triggered you. Perhaps a sense of unfairness.
Unfairness yeah.
in play there. And then that rational part of your brain, so the first reaction is fast. It comes from that limbic system to what's the right and appropriate thing to do.
Yeah.
Here. So the self-regulation, as in what's the action I'm going to take. So self-management in the model.
Self-awareness in itself isn't that much useful.
Yeah.
But once you actually do start to self-manage, that's where the rubber hits the road, so to speak, James.
Yes, well, there you go. So I've scored 1 out of 4 on the mechanism so far.
In seven habits speak, that would be the moment of choice.
Yeah.
You have the reaction, pause.
Yeah.
Before you choose what you're going to do.
You can feel it. You know, when you're in a meeting and somebody says something you really fundamentally disagree with and you feel the emotion going, and hopefully before you respond, you think through what your response is going to be rather than just go off at them.
Well, I think that's your point, isn't it? That's your self-regulation. So being able to recognise your own situation.
Yeah.
And then manage that.
Yes.
And choose what to do.
Uh-huh.
So to your point, Jimmy, it's a bit easier said than done.
Yeah.
Because if you're triggered, you're triggered.
But yes, of course. So it's knowing and recognition. Yeah. Awareness being the starting point.
It's that old bit of advice you're given as a kid, isn't it? Count to 10.
It is. It's the pause.
The point is, you pause before you respond. So you don't respond in the moment, in the emotion of it. You actually choose, to your point, James, you have a choice and you choose your response.
That's what the first phase is all about, is discovering what that...
Yeah,
what
and
goes...
I think the difficult bit is understanding when you're aware, because I have to admit, when I'm triggered, I'm triggered.
So maybe we've overstated the trigger part in this.
Yeah.
But actually tuning up to, hey, when I'm in this meeting, what am I feeling? What's going on for me right now? And it may not be triggered, but it might be something that actually it's worth getting curious about.
Yeah, also, it might be that in certain situations you know you're talking about a subject or to people who you know trigger you, and it's about that self-awareness of, you know, actually let me not respond in the moment throughout this meeting, throughout this interaction. I am going to pause, I am going to think, because I know that I'm in that situation where I'm dealing with a difficult person or a difficult subject.
Yeah, or even something just to build on. Let's go positive. What if you find yourself, I don't know, one day thinking, I'm just suddenly aware that I feel really relaxed or content right now. I mean, one, that's a beautiful feeling, a nice space to be in. But actually, if you create awareness for yourself, what's contributing to that for me right now? What's making that true? You can then make choices about how do I recreate that more often in my life. Do you see where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
So it's not all about necessarily something's going wrong, although obviously in leadership, that's a really super useful thing to be aware of. If it's going wrong and it's triggering you and driving the wrong behaviour, but also what else in my life is fulfilling? So it's about tuning up to what's your emotional state, whatever that may be, I think.
I think if you work out, and I know it's a bit trite, but if you work out what that happy place is, that happy thought, you can call on that at other times. You don't just have to, when you've got a quiet moment, it is...
Yeah.
Use that to pause, use that to feel a different emotion than you're feeling in the moment, then choose to behave differently.
Yeah.
The way I always think about it, though, is when it comes to response, what's the outcome that I want to get from this, either relationship or the interaction? Because quite often, if you just respond from the emotion, it ends up in a row or a disagreement, or you don't get your point across clear enough, but ultimately, you don't get the outcome that you want.
There's something about, again, it points to choice, right? Once I'm aware of this, whatever that is, then I can be more influential in my own life.
Okay. So, but I think the real point is...
Do we have you on board?
Yeah, sorry. Count to 10. That's the key point, isn't it?
Pay attention is my key point, I think.
Yeah, choose your response.
Yeah.
So what's next? Social awareness.
And then social awareness, yeah. So recognising, funnily enough, emotions in others.
But before we get into that, we ought to have a word from our sponsor.
We cover a whole host of topics on this podcast, from purpose to corporate jargon, but always focused on one thing, getting the job done well.
Easier said than done. So if you've got unhappy customers or employees, bosses or regulators breathing down your neck,
if your backlogs are out of control and your costs are spiralling, and that big IT transformation project that you've been promised just keeps failing to deliver,
we can help. If you need to improve your performance, your team's performance, or your organisation's, get in touch at jimmy@ajobdonewell.com
or james@ajobdonewell.com.
So where were we?
What's the dynamic or the interaction going on between maybe individuals in your team? Actually, this plays out in families, of course, anywhere that there are human beings. What's going on for the people? And can I empathise or acknowledge what they may be experiencing? Doesn't mean you have to agree. You get to sit from their point of view.
Yeah, I think it's quite important to be aware of what other people are like to be thinking. We have told the story before about me and the slaying the dragons, the projects which needed to die. But I went to this room and I just said, all these projects needed to die. And I was right, these projects did need to die. They were dreadful projects. But, more to the point, the other people in the room probably didn't see it that way. They were invested in those projects. And if I had the sense to sit back and think about where they would be emotionally beforehand, wasn't my finest hour, I will be honest. I think there's some truth in that.
But in fairness, Amanda, you helped us with a little exercise to understand our EQ before this, and in fairness, James couldn't spell the word empathy, let alone have any.
I was struggling to spell EQ.
I was listening to something really interesting the other day about empathy, but the notion that empathy in and of itself has different qualities. So there's the ability to be able to, at a cognitive level, recognise that someone else has a different point of view or a different perspective going on for them. And then the emotional level of that too. Can I empathise with the feelings that you've had? Because I've had similar emotions. I can experience them in the same way. So a cognitive level, do I understand it too? Can I kind of feel it myself? And then another one, the notion that I'm moved enough to be able to take on board but really want to help them with their emotional situation. So kind of different levels of empathy too. So that's really going to blow your mind, James.
It's how do you spell empathy again?
Right. Fortunately, some of our listeners will be more interested in that than perhaps James is. But it's interesting, Amanda, because I'd never really thought about layers to empathy, but do I intellectually understand what you're talking about, and how do I feel about what you're talking about as well. As they are different.
Yeah, indeed. But then that leads to relationship management. So in this domain, how can you use then what you know about your own emotions, but actually what you observe in others and experience in others, to skillfully influence or handle different interactions? Really important as a leader, of course, but effective communication. What do I want to be able to create? What's the emotional reaction that I might want to instill as I deliver a message here?
And there are people who are really very good at this. I mean, we were talking about, who was the guy you were talking about?
Yeah, so the guy who was formerly the chair of the FCA, Charles Randell, he was absolute class at this. And I remember going in and presenting to them about something that I thought they weren't doing right, and it could have been very confrontational. But the way he handled it was just, he was honest, he was open, he was calm, authentic about it, accepted my position and talked about what we were going to do about it. But I saw him deal with conflict or de-escalate conflict many times, but he had such a great style about it. He could say all sorts of things to you, and you're never going to take offence from the guy, because it was such a authentic, calm way that he did it.
Yeah. So then you've got, I mean, those are the four bits. So you've got self and others, mm-hmm. and being able to recognise what's going on and being able to manage what's going on.
Yeah.
So what's the fifth bit, is motivation, then? How does that fit?
The extra part. So this is about looking, using an emotional lens, remember, what drives our behaviour.
Yeah.
What motivates us. So how are your emotions playing out in relation to your motivation? If I'm feeling a bit fed up or a bit stuck, do I just abandon the thing I'm working on? Or actually, can I move beyond what I'm feeling now and remain persistent or resilient towards my goals?
Yeah, well, I think we experienced that a few times, James, with working for Lee Powell at Capital One or David Pitt at RSA, and both of them were very good where things were going wrong, or we had some setbacks, or we had to do some things we didn't want, and it really caused them emotionally some challenges. They were very good at then picking themselves up and then driving forward. But by doing that, they then inspired the rest of the team to pick themselves up and drive forward as well. So you manage your motivations, you saw them managing theirs.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay. All right, and so I'm convinced, so I can see that there is importance and value in this. I will buy myself a book, but now I could get it. So really what we're talking about is communication and the ability to build a bond with your team and understand what's going on for them.
And I think it also have a really positive impact on people's performance. You know, if you really understand them and think about them on an emotional level, job satisfaction, well-being will be much, much higher in teams with leaders like this.
Yeah, the work that I do with my clients in building teams is actually exploring very often about what's going on for each individual, and are there any areas of conflict, and can they develop within themselves and in their team environment, but the ability to better manage those dynamics for a more robust outcome.
And it's a bit like negotiations. I remember, crikey, 20 years ago, I went on a negotiation skills course. It was all about thinking win-win. But to get to the win-win, he drew a lovely little diagram. It was a Venn diagram, but it was about what was acceptable to one person versus what's acceptable to you. And it was all about finding the overlap.
Yes.
But actually, you have to explore the emotion, what's going on for different people, to be able to do that.
This doesn't just apply to work and work relationships. This applies to your personal relationships as well, as much as it does your work relationships, I presume.
Yeah, of course.
Ah, so the phrase bad dad, does that have anything to do with EQ then?
Maybe.
Possibly. So I think there are some real strengths to this as a leadership style, but there are some risks as well. There are some possible downsides, and I know that you said, Amanda, in the research that was done, that actually there is a negative correlation between people with high EQ and people who have creativity and innovation.
Yeah.
So you don't often or don't always get those together, because presumably if you have high EQ, you can, worst case, you can become a bit buttoned up and a bit restrained in terms of how you manage your emotions, and that doesn't necessarily help you with creativity and innovation.
All that passion and energy that you would put into your artistry or finding that new innovative solution gets so rationalised.
I'm a creative type. I'm a bit of a prima donna. Is that what you're telling me?
If that's what you want to believe, James, you go with that, mate. Go with it.
Go on, then. Any other downsides?
If you become very tuned into people's emotions, it would be quite easy to avoid upsetting the apple cart too much. So maybe you might shy away from giving bad messages, not wanting to ruffle people's feathers too much. So make too many changes because that might upset people.
I think there's also probably a halfway risk, which is people who understand it but don't understand it or aren't quite as practiced as they think they are, maybe come over as being a wee bit manipulative. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's probably true, isn't it?
I think it is. And actually, in the extreme of that, actively use it, frankly.
There are lots of positive impacts. There are some risks. But overall, it is hugely impactful and very positive. So if we wanted to develop our EQ, you did a little test on us and we were found wanting, as ever. So how would we go about developing our EQ, Amanda?
Again, number of different ways that you can approach that. One that I've seen and comes up a lot is journaling, actually. So particularly in the space of self-reflection and creating self-awareness, taking the time to just write down, maybe at the end of the day, what happened today? How was I feeling at any given point in the day? What went really well? What went less so well? And spotting then any specific patterns or behaviours or reactions.
Well, actually thinking about that, that's really quite powerful, because my point about being triggered by the lorry driver, but if you know you are going to get triggered, and you can then sort of almost see the triggers for the trigger, if that makes sense. You just get a sense of when you are likely to go, which would then help.
See the patterns,
yeah.
360 assessments. There's a ton of emotional intelligence assessments, which are fascinating to go through. Again, self-score. Actually, you can do versions of that where you ask other people for feedback as well.
That's one of the things that always resonated with me is, occasionally I have been told that I'm feeling a certain way because that's how I'm showing up to people. It's not how I'm feeling. And so that difference between your intention and your impact, I think you only really find out when you talk to others and gather feedback from others. So I think that really does help.
Yeah, for sure.
Another one though, which builds on that, which was the point I think you made and Amanda, so we had a bit of pre-work on what the pre-work was, try to study an interaction, and whilst you're in talking to somebody, recognize the emotions that are going on in the conversation. And I tried that, and that's really quite enlightening. It makes you realize how much you walk around in your own box and you don't notice what's going on.
And we I can't remember the numbers, but you'll probably know better than I, but so much of what we communicate is done by tone and body language versus the words. But when you're interacting with people, you tend to focus very much more on your words and what you're going to say rather than how you say it.
Yeah, and I think actually there is an element of, and it sounds really bad, but just being worried about yourself and not worried about anybody else. Yeah.
So
if you're only on Planet James, all you'll see is Planet James.
Yeah, exactly. So worry less about your words and worry more about observing other people's body language and tone.
Anything else?
Online courses, there's tons. I'm not sure about how I feel about online versions of those, if there aren't other people present, but anyway. And training, there's lots of formal training for this.
And I guess one thing that I'd observe throughout probably the last 20 years, I've used an exec coach at work or a counsellor outside of work to help me understand a bit more about how I'm feeling towards others, how I relate to others. Getting that help, whatever works for you, is a really powerful way of helping develop your personal EQ.
I couldn't agree with you more.
But some really useful tools to at least get started.
So in summary then, where does that take us? What are the key points?
Well, I think one of the things that we've discussed at length really is the enhanced interpersonal relationships and a positive work environment.
I think for me, it's all about better communication. So understanding where somebody's sitting, what's on their minds, how they like to see an issue really helps get the message over quicker and more effectively.
And is likely to mean better conflict resolution. You're going to fall out with people less, you're going to manage your relationships better.
Empathy-driven decision-making. So leaders with high emotional intelligence consider facts or figures all really, really important, but actually also the impact on their people.
Self-awareness is really powerful because you can't self-regulate if you aren't necessarily self-aware. I will endeavour to count to 10 when I'm out driving next time.
The lorry drivers of the UK, thank you. And an environment which has high EQ is likely to see superior performance.
It needs to be done with skill, because overdone or done in the wrong way could end up producing a diplomatic workplace that doesn't have all the change, innovation and energy for shifts that you might actually require.
I thought your five-dimension model was very helpful to understand a bit more about EQ, as were your tips of how you develop it. So thank you
very
Amanda.
Much.
Thanks. Nice to see you both.
Thanks, everyone. Hope you've enjoyed this leadership episode. And if you've got any questions or comments or want help developing your EQ, then feel free to get in touch with us at jimmy@ajobdonewell.com.
Or Amanda,
waste an email to James.
Anyway, we'll move on. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye.
If you'd like to find out more about how James and I can help your business, then have a look at our website, jobdonewell.com.